Good afternoon, brethren, and thank you so much, Tom and Debbie. As we say, we're so blessed in this area with all the special music, all the special talent we have with the music, and certainly appreciated Mr. Van Heusen's slideshow there, very informational as usual. You know, we have the talent here with the music. About the only music I ever listened to back in high school was the rock and roll days, and after that, it was pretty much just country western until I met Manya. She kind of broadened my horizons a little bit. But I don't know, I don't listen to the radio much anymore. I don't listen to music, really. But for whatever reason, I had the radio on, and I heard this song, and it caught my attention. I don't know how many of you listen to country western music. I won't embarrass you to have you raise your hands or anything. But out of curiosity, This song was made popular by Blake Shelton. I don't know if anybody heard of him. But it was originally written by a Christian contemporary by the name of Dave Barnes. Now, I don't know if anybody knows what I'm referring to yet, but I will ask for a show of hands. How many heard recently here of a song by the title, God Gave Me You? Okay, I see a few hands go up. Now, I first of all have to apologize to Mr. Fiske and Scott for throwing a blindside because they didn't know that I had recorded that on a CD and asked if they could play it. They weren't ready for it. So if it doesn't get going here, because I've asked them to play this song, it's about 3 minutes. And I would like you guys to listen to the words of this song for those of you who haven't heard it. So Mike, if you can get it going. It's not coming on. I don't want to take a whole lot of time. I see Mr. Jeswell going. I say again, I apologize for. I did a little backup because I know some of the special music people that stand up here before waiting for a while. But if we can't get it going, you can't. Probably not going to work. Okay. Well, I'll read you the words to the song. Those of you that heard it before, I'll go ahead and read the words. It says, I've been a walking heartache. I've made a mess of me. The person that I've been lately ain't who I want to be. But you stay here right beside me, watch as the storm goes through, and I need you. And the chorus of this song is, God gave me you for the ups and downs. God gave me you for the days of doubt. For when I think I've lost my way, there are no words left to say. It's true, God gave me you. There's more than what we're seeing, a divine conspiracy, that you, an angel lovely, could somehow fall for me. You'll always be love's martyr, I'll always be the flattered fool, and I need you. The chorus again is, God gave me you for the ups and downs, God gave me you for the days of doubt. For when I think I've lost my way, there are no words here left to say. It's true that God gave me you. There's a couple other more verses to that. I'll, for the sake of time, won't go ahead and read it since we couldn't get the tape going. But as you heard them words to that chorus, that God gave me you for the ups and downs, and God gave me you for the days of doubt. Now, I don't watch any music videos. I know that's a pretty popular thing. But I had to, obviously, when I went to get the lyrics for this song and try to play it, I did see that video. I obviously watched the one from Blake Shelton, but the one from Dave Barnes on his music video shows obviously the like a boyfriend, girlfriend, but it has the family in it. And that's kind of what I wanted to focus on this afternoon, is that part of the family. In fact, even in the video, it shows an older couple, one handing them a card and opened up into the 50-year wedding anniversary. But the song isn't just for spouses. You know, it fits it very well for marriage. But I think it also can apply to fathers, to mothers, brothers, sisters, relatives, fellow co-worker, and certainly the brethren, basically humanity in general. Those who have seen the message or the bulletin today know that my title for my message this afternoon is One Another. When I went and researched that phrase, one another, I came up with no less than 30 different scriptures referring to that, either for one another or to one another or one to another. Well, I'm not going to turn to all of them this afternoon, but I will admit I'm going to turn to more scriptures than I've ever had in a message before. So bear with me. There is a lot of scriptures that we're going to be turning to. But the reason I want to do that is because I feel I want to drive home the point and exhort you, as well as myself, just how important that concept of one another really is. Turn with me, if you would, over to Matthew 25. I'll give you a second to get over there because I had my Bible already marked there. Matthew 25, and I'm going to read the story through verses 31 through 46. I'm not going to read all that, just paraphrase it for the sake of time, but we know here this is the story we should be familiar with, where there's the separation of the sheep and the goats, and Christ saying unto them now that he was hungry and thirsty, a stranger and naked, in prison, etc. But the scriptures that I want to focus on in this set is verses 40 and verses 45. I'm going to read this, Matthew 25 and verse 40. And the king will answer and say unto them, assuredly, I say to you, insomuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And then drop down to verse 45. Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, insomuch as you did not do it to the least of one of these, you did not do it to me. Now, we can debate, who he might be referring to when he says, my brethren. But I think we'd miss the whole point or the principle of what he's trying to get at here. We're told in 2 Peter, you don't have to turn there, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack in concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So not willing that any should perish and that all should come to repentance tells me that that would pretty much include everybody, right? You know, there's different opinions among the Christian sects as to what the church's role is or what our responsibility is in, quote, doing the work. And we're all familiar also with the scripture where it tells us that no man can come to Christ unless he calls him. So what is it that we should be doing, you and me? I think probably a good place to start would be how we treat one another. You know, most folks have their various scriptures that they call their favorite. I can't say that I've really had one, you know, what might be called my favorite. But I know one that would rank up there, right up there, is John 13, 35. If you want to turn over there, John 13. I'll be quoting most of these scriptures out of the New King James Version. We'll start out in verse 34, John 13, 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you may also love one another. Verse 35. By this you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I would have to rank this one would be as my first one another. You know, I think it is so important that Christ even expounds on it back over in John. You want to turn back over to John 15. Read two verses there, verses 12 and verses 17. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And if you want to drop down a couple of verses to verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. You don't have to turn there if you want to jot down Romans 3:18. It also says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And we need to be understanding the immensity of the love that God has for his children and the corresponding love that God has designed for us also to love his children. This love is based on the true knowledge of each other, to know one another, to know their names, to know their families, to know their burdens, to know their joys. To be able to love someone, you're going to have to be able to get to know them. And that brings us, I think, to another one another. It's over in James. James 5, verses 15 to 16. James 5, verse 15. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, Mr. Klein mentioned here in the announcement several of the other ones, and I can certainly attest myself. I'm just thankful to all of the brethren and others who have prayed for my own father, who, by the way, is doing great. In fact, so great that that's unusual that they took the release to hospice care. So he's been walking without the walker and basically doing very well again. So thank everybody for prayers on his behalf. But I do know, as you get to know one another and know their aches and their pains and you pray for them, it's a great benefit. Prayer is probably our greatest weapon for a believer to use in that great battle against the evil one. We must commit ourselves to pray diligently for one another. This prayer is based on a specific request, personal involvement, and a heart directed by the Spirit of God. Next, another one that I think one another is close to this one on prayer, but I think actually should probably come before that one to help us to be able to pray more effectively, is in Galatians, again, for the sake of time. We'll have to turn there. Galatians 2, or 6 and verse 2. Galatians 6, 2 says, bear one another's burdens so you fulfill the law of Christ. You know, the burdens and the battles are great. And one has to and must enter in to those burdens and the suffering and the sharing of personal information concerning the pressures, the struggles that are faced by others, whether they're members of the body, of our own family, I mean, parents, spouses, brothers, sisters, and even our fellow co-workers. You know, I can't tell you how much of a difference, an impression, a huge impression you can make with people that you work with, that you know are going through a difficult time or going through a struggle, and that you acknowledge that struggle. I don't care if it's a card, a visit, a simple phone call. You just don't see that in the world. Amongst the brethren, we should expect that. But I think as brethren, as God's disciples, we should be showing that to others that we're around. That's one way that I think we'd be letting our light shine. But as we do, when we do that, send that card or make that phone call, I think that's part of what's referred to as bearing one another's burdens, to get to know them, to know what they're going through, so you can pray for them, you can extend that love, and you can bear their burdens with them. You know, in conjunction with this comes another one another. Oh, no, hang on. I probably should have worded that different. But anyhow, turn with me over to 1 Corinthians. This goes hand in hand with bearing one another's burdens. 1 Corinthians 12. I would like to read two verses there, verse 23 through 25. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 23. And those members of the body which we think are less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part of the body which lacks it. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that members should have the same care one for another. Now take time to think of and to pray and to care for others as we are instructed. Now granted, especially as it tells us, especially those of the faith, but who are living and working and suffering in all the places that they might be found. They know the reality of their situation, what they are facing, how they're able to respond to it. Do we? Do we know what they're going through? As it goes on to say in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it." When we do this for others, what is our attitude? What should we be feeling? Turn, if you would, with me over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, I want to go to 1 Peter 3 and read verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called for this, that you may inherit a blessing." Do we enter into the joy and the suffering of others, especially those of the faith? Are we sympathetic to their suffering and feel those things that they feel? This compassion and sympathy is motivated by the work of the Spirit of God. And we try to understand on a personal level the lives of others, the struggles that they're going through. As we feel this compassion one to another, it's only natural that we would demonstrate an additional feeling. Let's turn over to Romans. Again, Romans 10 and verse 12 and verse 10. Romans 12, verse 10. "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honoring, giving preference to one another." Now, we need to open our hearts to the realization that we are part of the family of God, and as members of this family, we have a reciprocal tenderness of that familial love for one, for everyone. And again, I've said it before, especially those of the faith, but when I say that, I'm not just referring to us who are sitting right here, or even those in the greater United Church of God. We are to love one another. That means everybody. Even those who are still yet potential family members of God's family. Seek out ways that we can demonstrate the giving of honor and place to others. You know, this attitude is based on the reality that we are all seeking to build up one another. But not only the brethren, but as I said before, everyone. Aren't they also potential members of the body? And when we do that, we do it for God's glory. Since we're here in Romans 12, let's just go up to the verses to verse 3 and 5. Back up to the beginning of the chapter. Romans 12, verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, as God has dealt with everyone, to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." Verse 5. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individual members one another." You know, this concept of members one to another, I think goes beyond, at least for myself, what I've thought kind of in the past of, you know, like say I mentioned earlier, our local congregation or a greater organization. But I just want to throw out a word of caution. At least I know it's been something I've struggled with in the past, is that it's pretty easy to get the attitude that we are the ecclesia, the called out ones, the special ones in. We are, therefore we are, and others what are not. Let's turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Ephesians 4, 25 says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbors. For we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands for what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary edification, that it may impact grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. But let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32 is what I wanted to focus on here. Verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Stop and think what we just read there. I just read and you guys heard. Is this the kind of behavior that is only required of those who have been called? Or is that somehow set apart? Or would God expect everybody to act and behave in this manner? Now, to gain an appreciation of the fact that we are members of Christ, we are also members to one another, much the same way, I think, is like a branches on a tree. You know, they're all part of bringing in the different branches, the health and the nourishment to that entire tree. We need to guard our attitude of kindness in our heart concerning others, as we just read in verse 32 of Ephesians 4, to be tender-hearted in all our thoughts and actions towards others, I think is a sign of a true spiritual relationship of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. And for the sake of repetition, I'm going to read that again because I think it's so important. Verse 32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even in God, Christ forgave you. You know, it's easy to mouth those words, to read them, you know, pretty, yet to apply them is a whole lot harder to put into practice. And not just occasionally, but always being kind and forgiving as Christ is towards us. Now, I'll go back to 1 Peter. We were there earlier, and I didn't quite get it to flow with it, so we'll go back to 1 Peter. Read 1 Peter 4. I'm going to read through verses 8 and 10. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love one for another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Well, we covered that as our first point with love. Verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now seek opportunities to serve others, and not just members of our own body, and not just for our glory, but for the glory of God himself. As we have this attitude of servanthood, we'll have a clearer understanding of what a true spiritual community should look like. And since we're right here in 1 Peter, drop down a few verses. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You don't have to turn there if you want to jot down Ephesians 5, 21. It says there, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, when we apply these last few one another's for loving, hospitable, or hospitality, ministering, submitting to one another, it'll make it a lot easier to achieve the next one. Again, we'll turn back over to Romans. This time, Romans 12 and verse 16. Romans 12, 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Seek out ways that we can demonstrate the giving honor and place to others. You know, this attitude is based on the reality that we all should be seeking to build up others. And again, especially those of the faith. but to God's glory, not our own. Now, we are instructed in Hebrews. Again, there's no need to turn there, because we're going to be coming back to more scriptures here in Romans. But in Hebrews, if you want to jot down Hebrews 10:24, it tells us, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And we need to strive to have a clear understanding of the other person. That comes from considering them intently, fixing one's eyes upon them when you're speaking with them, and get your mind around it in a more intense manner as we strive to get to know one another. This is indicative of a deeper relationship between each other. A couple more one another's while we're here in Romans I want to touch on. If you drop back a few chapters to Romans 15. Again, I got a couple of verses I wanted to read here. Romans 15, verse 7. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory. And again, dropping down to verse 13. Now may the God of hope love you in all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, also able to admonish one another. You know, we need to be open. What do you call it? To warnings or admonishments, basically correction from others as they see those things in our lives or what we practice in our practice of our faith, which probably aren't quite in line with keeping with the Word of God. You know, I think it's only natural, carnal human nature that's in us to kind of bristle or find excuses or justification when somebody brings something to our attention, a behavior or an action that's probably an error that should be changed. I think that's pretty apparent in a marriage, at least, but I won't go down that road. Yet, isn't it that what Scripture tells us, that just instructed us to do? Filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Back one chapter, verse 14, or chapter 14 of Romans. I'd like to read Romans 14, verses 16 through 19. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by me. Verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and things which may edify one another. I'll just inject here when I see read that one for peace there. A few weeks back, Mr. Morker pretty much covered that one because there is peace in there as well for one another, but he had a good message on true peace. So I let that one fly or pass over that one. Now, if we appreciate the fact that we are part of the body of Christ and it is our responsibility of each member of that body to build up other members of the body. By functioning as God has designed, each of us has something to offer one another for the spiritual health of the whole body. You know, there's several other one another's in the Scripture. And I'll just let you guys or take your time or a study to look up what the rest of them are. But before we drop off on these, I would like to bring up two others. You can turn over to Galatians. Galatians, I want to go to Galatians chapter 5. Now we've talked about like the positive side or the expression of one another. Here in Galatians, it has the positive, but also it brings up the one another in a more negative way. Galatians 5 and verse 13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even for this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself." But here in verse 15 it says, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. You know, it's pretty easy for a person in this world to identify with that. I mean, we need to look no further than our present political arena. You can see the biting, the devouring, and the consuming. But yet, before we do the old finger pointing, the biting and devouring, we don't have a whole lot of room to talk ourselves, brethren, because within our own organization, we've seen what had transpired here recently and over the years as it come along. And that's what chapter 15 warns us about. To be very careful of the biting, the devouring of one another, lest we be consumed from within by ourselves. Remember the words of that chorus that I sang. Too bad we couldn't get the snippet to play, because I think it's a really, really good song. I really like the words to it. But at the beginning, that was the words in that chorus was, God gave me you. You know, and that applies certainly within that song to a husband and wife, but I think also it can apply to the parents, their children, to aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, co-workers, certainly to anybody and everybody that we interact with. We can let our light shine by how we treat one another. I'd like to leave you and myself with a challenge as we go about this week and beyond, especially coming to the spring holy days, as we are to be examining ourselves. How well are we practicing and applying the one another instruction we just read in His Word?